Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد إن شاء الله today we will continue our lesson in Kitab al-Buyu and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Jami al-Tirmidhi. And today is the lecture, inshallah, we'll cover chapter 6 through 10. And chapter 6 through 10 include doing business early, meaning waking up early in the morning and going for the business. Chapter 7 is about permission to buy on credit. And inshallah, we'll go a little bit in detail on that subject as well. Chapter 8 is about recording the conditions of the transactions, the business transactions that we do. And 9 is about measures and weights. And the last one that we will discuss today is about auctioning. So the first chapter that we're covering today, which is the title is Babu Maja Fi Tabgir Bittijara, meaning what is reported by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding doing the business early. And the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mention from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is, it says, and this hadith is from Sakhr al-Ghamidi, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. And the meaning of these wordings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making the dua to his ummah for the barakah, for the blessing for the one who are doing in the morning, early in the morning. And the hadith continues on, قَالَ وَكَانَ إِذَا بَعَثَ سَرِيَّةً أَوْ جَيْشًا بَعَثَهُمْ أَوَّلَ النَّهَارِ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he used to send any expedition, the people, he used to send them part of it at least early in the morning. وَكَانَ صَخْرًا رَجُلًا تَاجِرًا. And Sakhr, he was a merchant. وَكَانَ إِذَا بَعَثَ تِجَارَةً بَعَثَهُمْ أَوَّلَ النَّهَارِ. فَأَثَرَ وَكَثُرَ مَعْلُهُمْ. And in the Sakhr, he was a merchant, and he used to do all his, he used to do the business early in the morning, and that resulted in a lot of wealth for him. Now, there are a few things that we have to understand about this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam itself. The hadith is, which is marfu' to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is only the beginning part of the hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua. And the rest of the part of the hadith is not marfu', meaning marfu' means the hadith, that the chain that goes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's mentioning what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what he did, or what he silent on a subject, or something was happening in front of him. So only the first part is. The other part is about the Sakhr. And he is talking about himself, that he was a merchant, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a lot of wealth, and he used to do the business early in the morning. And there is only one hadith actually which is reported by Sakhr al-Ghamidiyya, and this hadith is considered as hasan. And I will just try to give at least some definitions of some of the words, the terminologies and the words that we're using here, because down the road when we will be doing the rest of the book of Kitab al-Buyu' here by Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, we will see that there are certain terminologies that he uses for the hadith are a little bit different than the other a'imma of the hadith. So it is good to know the meaning of those terminologies as well, so we can comprehend what he's saying here. So here he's mentioning this hadith as a hasan, and it's mentioned as a hasan because the sahabi has only reported one hadith. But there are many other reports that talks about the very same concept. So that means the hadith becomes stronger. Even though if it's mentioned hasan, and hasan is good enough to extract the ruling from that anyways. And hasan is one of the categories that is under the sahih. So what is the impact of this today? Today what we see is, unfortunately, when we go out for work or something, many, many places we find that even the working hours start at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. And many businesses, they even start at that time. Not talking about just when you are an employee at some place, but besides that, when you talk about shops are getting opened up or people are going to buy and sell, we find that they have been delayed. And this is part of the existing system that we are living in. While in Islam, for a Muslim, the day starts at the Fajr. For a lot of Muslims, it starts even before Fajr time. The one who wake up for tahajjud and they continue to stay up until the Fajr time. And then it is recommended not to sleep after the Fajr time. So you stay up. So your day starts way ahead of time than the rest of the people. But in this system that we are living in, for a Muslim, it becomes difficult. You wake up at Fajr time, there's nobody else left. So you can do the business with. And so Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has made the dua for his ummah that there's a blessing for the ummah, the one who are doing the business in the early hours, so early in the morning. So this is, as I mentioned in the last time the talk also, the beginning part of Imam Tirmidhi's Kitab al-Buyu' actually is just kind of doing a tamheed or doing a setup, some sort of framework setting up for the business. So this is one of the good things that you can do when you're doing a business, that you start the business early. Then the the next chapter in this book is about Babu Maja'a fi rukhsati fi shira'i ila ajal. This hadith is about, there are a couple of hadith, but they're all connected back to the same one, is about the permission to buy on credit. We have to pay attention to what's mentioned in the hadith and what is understood from this hadith and the other hadith on this subject. So what this hadith is talking about is, it is allowed to buy something from somebody on credit, meaning you can set a price, a buyer and a seller, they can agree upon a price that will be paid not right away but in a later time. At the latter time, and they agree upon certain time, and the price of the product has to be set as well. These two things have to be fixed. That you have already mentioned, this is the amount of money that you're going to pay for something, and then when you will be paying. So the hadith mentioned in this subject here is about reported by Aisha radiallahu anha. The hadith says, "An Aisha qalat." كان على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثوبان قطريان غليظان فكان إذا قعد فعرق ثقل عليه فقدم بز من الشام لفلان اليهودي فقلت له بعث إليه فاشتريت منه ثوبين إلى الميسرة. Now here رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he had two cloaks, and they were heavy. From they were heavy cloaks. One he used to use for covering the top part of the body, and the other one was used for the lower garment, as a lower garment. Since it was thick, he used to sweat because of that, and the cloak used to get heavy as well because of the sweat. So it was suggested to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Aisha also, because there was a Yehudi. And he received some material, and that was from Sham, and it was of cotton. That it would be good to buy that from him, two thawbain, and two of the cloths. Ila maysara, at a time where it would be easier for him to pay it back. So فأرسل إليه فقال قد علمت ما يريد إنما يريد أن يذهب بمالي أو بدراهمي. When it was sent to the Yahudi, and his response was that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم wants to steal the wealth from him, and he will want to take the dirham from him. This is why he wants to take the cloth and doesn't want to pay him. That's why he's saying that he will pay back later, at a later time when it's easier for him. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم كذب قد علم أني من أتقاهم لله وأداهم للأمانتي. The Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying that he said he lied, and he knows. He knew that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is the most muttaqi among them, and he is the best who will be paying him back the things. And now, in this hadith, and the concept about this credit, the point that needs to be understood is, if you are paying a price, if you agree on a, if you say that, okay, this, for example, this phone, I want to buy you for $100, and I'll pay you later. So now the price is fixed now, but what you're saying is you will pay later. It is different than on a credit. Credit is you're saying, okay, this phone is worth $100, but I cannot pay you $100 at this point. And we agree upon after 2 months, I'll be able to pay it. And we agree on, okay, for after 2 months, the price will be $120. So we see that there's a change in price has happened if you're paying it after a certain time period. And both buyers and the sellers have agreed upon the price will be different if we are paying after 2 months. Now, in this case, which is called the buying on the credit, in this case, it is, even if the buyer, if he plans or he's willing to pay the money back earlier than the 2 months, he still has to pay the same amount, $120. And the seller, he cannot force now to the buyer that he has to pay the price before 2 months are over. So this is the agreement that we're talking about in the case of the credit. But in the case of a loan, loan is different, because when a person takes a loan, and even in this case, I say, oh, I don't have money, I'll pay you later. This is kind of a loan that you're taking now, because the price is still the same, which was now. You're setting the price of now, whatever the price is, $100. But you're saying, when I am at ease, I'll pay you the price. So that would be like a loan. And in this case, the seller has the right to ask for the money back whenever he wishes. Okay? And when he is allowing him more and more time, that is a good deed from the end of the seller. So there's a distinction between these two things. Now, the question comes in is, this hadith is talking about ila maysara. Ila maysara means that Aisha radiallahu, so one of the understanding about this is that this wording of ila maysara, meaning at ease that he will be paying, that is about the concept of whether it is the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, or is the Aisha. If these are just the wordings of Aisha radiallahu anha that she has added, then this hadith can be used for this subject. And this is how the Aimmah has taken it. If they took it as these are the wordings of Aisha that she said ila maysara, but in reality, when the person who went to buy from the Yahudi those garments, that the contract had these wordings that he will be paying it he's buying it on credit. So there's a price set for the future time, and this is what Rasulullah was going to pay to the Yahudi. So this is where it extracts this ruling regarding that it is allowed for us to buy something on the credit. I'm not going to go into too much of a detail regarding all the details about the sanad or the chains of the hadith, if there are too many different opinions that are mentioned, I will just touch those differences and inshallah go on and mostly discuss the one which is adopted by most of the scholars. Now, this is the very same Yahudi from whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually bought the food. Uh, This is another incident mentioned about the very same concept. That Rasulullah ﷺ, he bought some food for his family, and he pawned his dirah to the Yahudi, so he can have some food for his family. And the hadith about this mentions is that Rasulullah ﷺ passed away. He had his dirah that Yahudi had because it was pawned for him. At his place to get the food for his family. And Rasulullah, the other hadith that which is mentioned later on, that talks about that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually had 9 wives at that time, and they did not have enough to eat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that, and this is how they went and they got some food from the Yahudi. The hadith says, and actually this is again this is another concept to understand. When this hadith is mentioned, and an Abi Ibn Abbas radiyallahu an qala tuwaffiya an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa dir'uhu marhunatun bi 20 sa' min ta'amin akhadhahu li ahli, qala Abu Isa hadha hadithun hasanun sahih. Now here, first of all, this hadith itself, these are the wordings of Ibn Abbas. Of course, we're talking about the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he passed away. So these are the wordings of Ibn Abbas. Even though we call this hadith is actually a mawquf hadith. And mawquf hadith means that it is going back to a sahabi. These are the wordings of a sahabi, and in this case, Ibn Abbas. And then at the end of the hadith that says, whenever we say Jami' Tirmidhi, it says, Qala Abu Isa. So Abu Isa always referring back to Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah. That was his kunya. So that this is the name, that this is a kunya he used to go by. And the hadith says, this hadith is hadithun hasanun sahihun. It kind of feel confusing that a very same hadith can be hasan and sahih. How is this possible? Because hasan is a different category of the hadith from sahih. So we should know what is Hasanun Sahihun means when Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah is mentioning this word. Because what it means is, it has two different meanings actually. One is that this hadith which is mentioned here, it is a Hasan hadith. But there are other chains on the very same subject, or very same hadith is mentioned by other chains which are Sahih. It could be one or multiple. So this hadith would be called as Hasanun Sahihun. So by itself, it is Hasan, but it becomes stronger because of the other Sahih hadith. So that's one way of looking at Hasanun Sahihun. Other way of looking at the very same subject is like this. A hadith is mentioned, and sometimes we find the word like Hadithun Hasanun Hadithun Hasanun Sahihun Gharibun also. Now, that becomes more confusing because Gharib hadith means that it is just reported by one chain. If it is reported by one chain, how can the hadith be Hasan and Sahih at the same time as well now? Right? Because the previous definition that we just talked about was a hadith is Hasan, but other hadith are Sahih, and that they can make him Hasan Sahih. So now if it's Gharib also at the same time, which means it is only reported by one chain, then how is it Hasan and Sahih at the same time? The way it works is this way then. Because when we say Gharib, Gharib does not mean that in every level of the hadith, every tabaqa of the hadith, there's only one person. What it means is, in the whole chain, there's somewhere there could be only one person. It doesn't mean that everywhere it has to be one. So if, let's say, a sahabi is reporting from tabi'i, and he's reporting from taba tabi'i, and then he's reporting to somebody else later on, in a later generation. Now, among the tabi'i, if the person who is there, he is strong, and the sahabi is, all the sahabis, the sahaba is considered strong. But among the taba tabi'in, we find that there are many, many of the taba tabi'in who heard from the very same tabi'i. Okay, and there was only one tabi'i here in the hadith. That makes it gharib. Now, the one which is reporting here, or that that example, that could be Hasan. Meaning that person, Taba Ta'bi, may not be the strongest one that can make the hadith as sahih. But there could be other ones in the very, very same level who are stronger enough that can make the hadith as sahih. So this is how, even though the hadith is ghareeb, it can be hasan and sahih at the same time. It's much easier, I know, if I can draw it somewhere and draw the whole chart, it becomes easier. But I hope that it was clear. So in this case, the hadith is called hasanun sahihun because there are other reports which are stronger than that, that makes it hadith hasanun sahih. And this is only you find in the case of Imam Tirmidhi. Now, and this is a hadith that I was talking about when Rasulullah s.a.w. passed away. And this is connected to the other one actually. And this is the hadith, this is the beginning part of it that shows that the Rasulullah ﷺ did not have anything and he received the food from the Yahudi. So I'm going to pass this hadith and move on to the next chapter. Now, the next chapter is about the subject of Babu Maja'a fi Kitabati Shurut. And this is about when we are doing any kind of a transaction, we should write it down. And the hadith of Rasul, this hadith that mentioned here, that is reported by Abdul Majid ibn Wahab. Qala li Adda'u ibn Khalid ibn Hawza, ala aqra'uka kitaban katabahu li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here he's saying is, Abdul Majid over here is narrated to us, he said, Al-Adda bin Khalid bin Hawza said to me, shall I not read to you a letter that was written for me from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, of course. And the hadith continues on. He said, قَالَ قُلْتُ بَلَىٰ فَأَخْرَجَ لِي كِتَابًا. And he took out the writings. هَذَا مَا أَشْتَرَى الْعَدَّاءُ بْنُ خَالِدٍ بْنُ حَوْذَ مِنْ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَشْتَرَى مِنْهُ عَبْدًا أَوْ أَمَةً لِأَدَاءَ وَلَا غَائِلَ وَلَا خِبْثَ بَعْيَ الْمُسْلِمِ الْمُسْلِمِ. So in this hadith, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was selling an abd or ama. Abd is the slave, the male slave, and ama is the female slave. And he was selling it, and he wrote it down. He wrote it down, and in the writing, he saved it. The writing that came from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said that he wanted to show to the others, that should I show you something that is written to me by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, in that writing, all the conditions are mentioned regarding this transaction. And in this, it says that he purchased from him a slave or a female slave having no ailments, nor being a runaway, nor having any malicious behavior, and sold by a Muslim to a Muslim. Now here, the words which I use are, to la da'a. La da'a means that it doesn't have any kind of a sickness. Wala gha'ila, and he is not the one who has been run away, meaning it does not belong to him and he is selling him. Okay? Or wala khibtha, and it is not from something which is bad, which is from the haram means that he have achieved it. And a Muslim is selling to a Muslim. So the idea here is not the discussion of about slavery here, of selling a male slave to, or a female slave. The concept in this hadith, in this chapter is mentioned here, is about when you are doing a transaction, any important transaction that you are doing, we should write it down. And this is the way we find from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidayni ila ajalin musamma faktubu. That when you are giving, when you are doing a transaction of the dain, of the loan, so in the ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَاكْتُبُوا, that write it down. And of course, it is allowed to do a transaction without writing it down as well, but the recommended action here is to write it down. So why is this important nowadays? Nowadays, a lot of time this happens. For example, you're taking loans from friends, from each other. Or it could be from the family members. And a lot of time people from each other, they think of it, oh, this is like some sort of, somebody degrading you, that he's asking you to write it down, that you have taken the money from me. There is nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, you are following a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. And you're following the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam done in action. And actually, it takes away a lot of hassle and problems in the future. Because if you have taken the loan, and something happens to you, for example, where is the person that you took the loan from going to get the money from now? We should not be just assuming the person who gave the loan, he should forgive it. Because he has the right to take the loan back from the people who are inheriting the wealth from the one who has died, for example. That's one condition. Other could be, you never know that maybe the person who took the loan, he changes his mind and doesn't want to pay it back. So now there's a proof there. So you write it down, and if you're not writing it down, then you get the you get the witnesses. So you write it down and you get the witnesses, actually. Two witnesses for the writings that you are doing. In this hadith, this is not about the loan. It is talking about the reading and write. It's about selling, buying and selling. And Rasulullah ﷺ is doing this written documentation to make sure that the transaction is fair from a Muslim to a Muslim. Even though Rasulullah ﷺ himself was a prophet of Allah, and the people who are buying from him in this case, they were from the Sahaba. And how can the Sahaba would not trust Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for buying and selling? I mean, they were trusting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for much bigger than that. They were trusting him as a messenger of Allah, that he is the one who's getting the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were submitting their life to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They accepted him as a messenger. But here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us how to live the life for the people who are follow who will come after that, after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. So, in Islam, and there are many ulama who have written many books actually on the subject of documentation of different kinds of transactions. And there can be different transactions. For example, it could be buying and selling, it could be a contract, it could be, like last time some brother was asking questions regarding when you are doing the buying and selling of, let's say in today's days, where people are selling and buying and selling hardware or software or services, how do you deal with these kind of things? So it is always better to write it down and write down all the conditions that apply to it. Of course, those conditions have to be also halal as well. So next chapter in Kitab al-Buyu' here is Babu Maja fil Mikyal wal Mizan, and this chapter is regarding the measures and the weights. That when you are buying and selling, there are two of the ways that were common in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Were when you are buying something, you either buy it by weighing or by measuring it. So either by mikyal, so the mabir, the thing that you are selling, was either mikyal or mizan. In the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith reported by عن ابن عباس قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحاب المكيال والميزان إنكم قد وليتم أمرين هلكت فيه الأمم السالفة قبلكم. The رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying, and he was talking to أصحاب المكيال والميزان, meaning the one who were doing the buying and selling by weighing and measuring. And he's saying that verily, you have been entrusted, that you've been entrusted with by for weighing and measuring. And the hadith says the previous nations were destroyed because of the very same matter. Like we know in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the story of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, that the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, they were destroyed because they used to cheat in buying and selling. So the lesson that is given in this hadith is very simple, that when we are buying and selling, we have to make sure that what we buy, what we are weighing or measuring, it has to be the right amount. And obviously, that very same hadith applies on other subjects as well. It doesn't have to be just the thing that you buy or weigh or measure, but even the things that you count and sell as well. Because there are many other ways of buying and selling nowadays. So in all those things, the measurement has to be equal, meaning the way it's supposed to be. So we should not be cheating. And cheating is one of the things that can invalidate a transaction as well. Now, so in this hadith, it is saying Abu Isa, meaning Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, is saying, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ لَا نَعْرِفُهُ مَرْفُوعًا إِلَّا مِنْ حَدِيثُ حُسَيْنِ بْنُ قَيْسِ وحسين بن قيس يضعف في الحديث. So, but he's saying, وَقَدْ رُوِيَ هَذَا بِالْإِثْنَادِ صَحِيحًا إِبْنَ عَبَّاسٍ مَوْقُوفًا. So this hadith is, which is mentioned here, in this one, Husayn ibn Qais is the only one that has reported it, and he is da'if, he is weak. But there are other isnad, which are sahih, which are authentic, which are acceptable, but those are hadith are actually from Ibn Abbas, and they are mawqufan. See, that the hadith, this is why I was saying that these terms are very important to know. So this, because the hadith is mawquf, meaning this is the saying of Ibn Abbas. So Ibn Abbas is the one actually who's suggesting that don't do this. So we cannot say that, oh, okay, because this is not a hadith from Rasulullah, so we can put it on the side. No, this is for Ibn Abbas, who is a sahabi also. And this is his understanding, one. Second, about the concept regarding not to cheat, it is from the Quran as well. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلُ لِلْمُتَفَّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they are destroyed, the people are destroyed. Woe to the people who cheat when they are buying and selling. They give less and they take what they're supposed to take. So it is already mentioned in the Quran as well. So, but from the perspective of the hadith, we should understand this concept as well. When the hadith is coming from a sahabi, that would be considered as a mawquf hadith, and that is, the most can be his understanding that is coming from the saying of Rasulullah ﷺ or from the Quran. Now, this subject regarding, which is about the auctioning, the next chapter, which says, the title is Babu Maja'a fi Ba'i Man Yazid. That Man Yazid, Ba'i Man Yazid is referred to as auction, when you're doing the auction. This hadith is actually a part of the hadith, which is the longer version of the hadith is mentioned by Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullah. And in that hadith, which is reported by Imam Dawood, that actually talks about a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a needy person, and he was showing his need. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that, do you have something? And he said, only thing he has is, which is referred as the hilsa wa qada. Hils is something that a blanket that you put on the stable. And qada is a bowl. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, so he said, these are the two things he has. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that from him, and he started auctioning it. This is where the concept of auction came from, that it is allowed in Islam. Now, the hadith goes, which is mentioned by Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, it says, Anas bin Malik, Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'a hilsan wa qadaha, wa qal, man yashtari hadha al-hilsa wal qadaha. Who will buy this saddle blanket and the bowl? فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ أَخَذْتُهُمَا بِدِرْهَمْ. So one of the guys said, I will buy them for one dirham. So now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept this price. So he continued on. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ يَزِيدُ عَلَى دِرْهَمْ مَنْ يَزِيدُ عَلَى دِرْهَمْ. So another, فَأَعْتَاهُ رَجُلٌ دِرْهَمَيْنِ فَبَاعَهُمَا مِنْهُمْ. So another guy, he got up and he said, okay, I'll buy for two dirham. So he bought it for two dirham. So from this hadith, we extract that it is allowed to do the auctioning. Now, about the auctioning, the problem here is, in general, by the way, the a'imma, all the four imams, they agree upon that it is permissible to do the auctioning. But we find from the later scholars, that includes Ibrahim al-Nakhai, rahimahullah, he does not allow auctioning. And the reason he did not allow auctioning is based on this hadith that says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يبيع رجل على بيع أخي, meaning it is not allowed for a man to sell some, when a man is not to sell over his brother's sale, meaning I'm trying to buy something from the brother and we have set the price and somebody comes along, I'm going to pay you more. So this is the sale which is not allowed here. Now, how do you do the tatbiq of these two hadith? Because they look kind of contradictory, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to auction something. One person has said, I'm going to pay dirham. You know, he's asking for more. And the other person is giving 2 dirham. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, you cannot do this. Because the way you look at these two hadith, and this is the way the A'imma looked at these two hadith, is in the case of the auction, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first of all, he did not have the mail, meaning he was not inclining towards the first buyer. So it's not like he has agreed upon the price that he was going to pay. And it was open-ended from the beginning. Whoever will pay more, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to pay it to him. In this case, the two guys are about to finish the transaction. The person is going to sell him, and the third person comes in, and he said, no, I'm going to pay more. That's what the hadith is talking about, not the way Ibrahim al-Nakhai understood it. Now, similarly, Imam Awza'i, he brought another hadith actually, and he considered that it is only allowed, the auction is only allowed in 2 cases. One is if it is from the inheritance, or other is from the spoil of war. And he used the hadith, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an bay' man yazid. Unfortunately, there is a typo here. Illa fil ghanaim wal mawarith. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم prevented. He prohibited the bay' man yazid illa fil ghanaim, except in the case of the ghanaim and mawarith, which is inheritance. The problem is this hadith is weak, which is mentioned in Dar-Qutni. And the hadith that we talked about, the auctioning, that's a sahih hadith. So the one which is stronger, which is authentic, that is preferred over the one which is not. That's one thing. Second is, the action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the previous hadith is very clear that it is not Rasulullah was not selling the ghanaim or the mawarith. Because that was owned by a person. There was a bowl and there was a blanket for the saddle, and Rasulullah was trying to sell that. So what we extract from that is it is allowed for us to do the auction, but our auction in Islam is a little bit different than that happens in many places. In Islam, even when you are auctioning, there's a thing called a condition or an option of defect. Meaning, if the product that you have bought through the auction, if it's defective, then the buyer has the right to return it. And similarly, if you have not seen it, if you have not seen the product that you're going to buy, and after you see it, you don't like it, or there's something wrong with that, than what you were expecting. So you have the khiyar, you have the option to return it. While the auction that happens nowadays, you have seen something and you bid on it, and once you win the bid, you have to buy it. You're stuck with it, whether there's a defect or not a defect in it. So in Islam, you have this option of that you can return it back. So today we covered 5 different topics. So I'll just quickly summarize it, and after that, inshallah, if there is any question, we'll talk about those things also. So the first chapter that was discussed was about Babu ما جاء في تبكيري بالتجارة, meaning to wake up early in the morning, start the business as early as possible, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the dua for the people who start the business early in the morning. Second thing is about that it is allowed in Islam to buy the things on the credit. I'm not talking about the credit card or something. This is a different terminology we are using here. What it means is that when you are buying something and you set the price for the future, that you will be paying the money after, let's say, 2 months or something, and you set a price for that product after 2 months will be something else than what it is today. So that is allowed in Islam. But again, in this case, time is set and the price is set for the product that you're going to buy. Third thing that we discussed was kitabat al-shurut, which is writing the conditions of the transaction, whatever kind of transaction we're talking about. It could be buying, selling, or whatsoever. So we have to have, it is recommended, highly recommended action to write the contracts. And as I mentioned that in many, many cases, I personally know many people who have different kinds of issues with very close friends, even or family members, because they have not done the written documentation, they ended up with even breaking connection with each other, or the friendship was over. In some cases, unfortunately, some people even end up their relationships. That's a completely separate subject that we should not be ending our relationships. And the last, fourth chapter that we discussed today was about the Mikyal or Mizan, and we talked about this hadith, even though it is mawquf, it is from Ibn Abbas, that he was saying that when we are buying and selling, the measuring and the weighing should be done properly. Okay, and that goes along with the ayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. The last chapter was about the auctioning, and in the case of the auctioning, it is from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is allowed, and we find that the a'imma, all the four imams, they agree upon this subject as well, that it is allowed to do the auctioning, with some differences from some of the later scholars, including Ibrahim al-Nakhai and Imam al-Auza'i, and their differences were also discussed, that they are relatively much weaker opinions compared to the opinion that Aima has adopted. So I'll stop here, and inshallah we'll go over if there's any questions regarding the subject. Wa akhu da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu alayk.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.